Greetings from Clearwater, Florida. And my whole message just got changed, just like that. But that's good, though, right? So, because wandering out of the way, just thinking, you know, the same instructions were given to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, where he was instructed not to wander, not to turn from the left or to the right, but to keep keep his path straight. And see, what happens is that we've seen this happen. There was, for me, what happened, and my wife, we were with the crowd, you know, that kind of departed from here, as everybody knows. This was maybe like 14 years ago or something like that. And what we've seen and what's happened in our own life, we ended up kind of wandering away. We kind of wandered away from the faith. And we've seen so many things in people's lives where, you know, what happens is if we wander away from the truth, if we wander away from the word, then we're left with our old sin nature. We're left to be carnal because the Bible tells us very clearly it's the word of God that quickens us. You know, Psalm 119:25, my soul cleaves to the dust, but we're quickened by the word of God, right? So, and this is what's happened to us. But for me, what happened was is that we kind of wandered away, and I just started getting back into the Word again. I just started studying the Bible, and started really intently studying the Bible. And then there are things when you read like the book of Ephesians in there, which talks about the church, that we need a church, and that's important to have a church. It's important to have your pastor teacher, someone that teaches you, someone, you know. I look at verses like Hebrews 13:7, for instance. It says, remember those who have the rule over you, those who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, and then consider the end of their conversation. It says in the King James, which in other words, like their life, like what's going on with their life. So we follow faith. We follow men as they follow God. But the moment that they don't have faith anymore, we don't follow. We don't follow because we are following God. And so what happened to me, I started studying the Bible. And then now we have this Bible study with our neighbors, the neighbor next door, the neighbor two houses down, two neighbors across the street in two different houses. And so we just have like a Bible study with them. Some of them, they have their own churches, but they love getting together. And then now in all of our neighbors, because they didn't really know each other that well, because there was one neighbor who's been lived there since 1969, and there's another neighbor that's lived there since 1971, but they never really talked to each other. But now, because they come to the Bible study, they both talk to each other, and it's a really great thing. And then here's the second thing, okay, because this church demonstrates Christ's love, and that's what we've both my wife and I, we have both seen this with all of you. You know, we have this men's prayer meeting on Mondays where the U.S. pastors get together and they pray, and they're praying for me. They're praying for my wife. I mean, it's pretty awesome. You know, they're praying for God to add people to our little Bible study. They're praying for that. And then Pastor Schaller's personal investment in me. I mean, this goes a long ways. This is a demonstration of Christ. It really is. I mean, how shall they know that we are disciples unless we love one another, right? In John 13:35. I mean, how will I know? How will I know that it's real? So this is my testimony. So I love it, and I think that's it. I just want to thank you all for just loving us, my wife and I. I mean, we feel so welcomed here. You know, there's nothing, you know what I'm saying? So just thank you so much.
Lord, you are so good to us that We can feel your presence, your love in our lives, sometimes more than at other times. Sometimes it's just faith and purity of heart and attitude. And then when we assemble like this, you have promised to anoint us so that we would drink the same Spirit. We feel that weight here tonight and ask you to take and breathe on these words and give us understanding and encouragement and show us your way. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a number of verses I'd like you to look at before we start preaching. One of them is Jeremiah 14, verse 10. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. Okay, there it is. Thus they have loved to wander. You know, in life, there are so many pulls on us in many directions. Many times it isn't our hearts are wrong. It's just that our disciplines and how easy it is to go with our desires and our wishes, our notions, impulses, feelings. I think there's a battle for our hearts, because in Proverbs 23:26, it says, my son, give me your heart. You know, when you think of the universe, you have the stars and the planets. And so far, we have found nothing out there but dirt, space, gases, all kinds of things in the physical realm of the physical universe. But have we found a moral element? Have we found a life? Have we found conscience out in the universe? But on this planet, there's a lot of conscience. Every human being has conscience, Romans 2:14 and 15. God made us in his image. Sometimes I feel that the whole universe is looking at us. The angels look, 1 Peter 1:10, and then this verse, listen, God says to us, give me your heart. But why? Why does God's got mountains and planets and animals and fish and birds, but my son, give me your heart. God, if I give you my heart, do you increase in any way? No, I don't change. Malachi 1:3-6. I gain nothing, but there's a mystery. I made you in my image. I want your increase, and I want my wisdom, and I want my heart in your heart. God's heart, I'll give you the sure mercies of David, Acts 13:44. The heart of David was a heart after God. I don't have a heart after God until I am born again. When I'm born again, he gives me a new heart and a new spirit. And this heart is desired. I think people desire your heart. I think girls, guys, moms and dads want are hearts. I'd like to have the heart of my grandchild. I have the heart of my wife. But I also think people want our hearts, and the devil wants our hearts. The world wants our hearts. The world wants our money, our gifts, our intelligence, our strength, our hands, our feet. The world wants our hearts. But God said, "My son, give me your heart." You know, in our little sketch here, it's up on the screen, I think, where it was. Now it's the Berkshire Mountains. Is it up there? Okay. The heart. I wondered. It says Jeremiah 14, thus have they loved, my people have loved to wander. Do you know what stops you from wandering? When you find value. When you find value. When you find the presence, the value of wisdom, the value of a heart after God, the value of grace, the value of truth. Turn to Proverbs 17, 16, please, for a moment. Proverbs 17, 16. This is one of my favorite Proverbs. I love it. It's great. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he has no heart to it? He has no heart for it. You know, it's kind of like, actually, it's kind of like I have some money and I'd like to buy wisdom, but I have no heart for it, right? It's like the money, it's like I want to get in good shape. I want to get physically in good shape. So I go to Walmart and I buy a chin-up bar and some weights. And I pull out my money and I bring the stuff home. And I use it for 5 or 10 minutes. And it sits in the garage or in the attic or in the cellar. Because I had money to buy it, but I had no heart for it. It's like a man with, bear with me, I don't want to lose the audience here, but a man with prostitution. He has money, but he has no heart for the woman. He has no respect. There's no heart. But he has money in his pocket, and he can buy gym equipment, he can buy a woman, he could maybe buy some friends and have a party, but he has no heart for it. It's the same with God. There is religion where people function, and Jesus said, with your mouth you worship me, but your heart is far from me. Why do you even say the words? That's what that proverb says. Why is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom when he has no heart for it? He doesn't care about it. That's when you and I were maybe brought up in a religious church and a religious context, but when we were teenagers, we were like saying, I have no heart for this. I don't care about going there. I don't care about what he's saying. I don't care about what's going on. I have no heart for it. When I have no heart for it, then I wander out of the way. And let's go back. This is a very simple message. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. How did it get fixed when there is such a contest for the heart to pull, you know? Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, verse 10. Isn't it? No, 15. 1 Timothy 4, 15. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them. I think that's what you folks have done. I know you have, because I've known you for decades. I have seen your lives. When we give ourselves wholly, when God says, give me your heart, we kind of make a deal. We kind of, you know, in the court system, there's what's called a plea bargain. And you kind of cut a deal with the court and the judge. And I don't really know the legal terminology for it and how it works, but there's some deal made. You know, God doesn't look for a plea bargain. He looks for our hearts. Holy. When we have it in our mind that maybe this is real, this works, maybe it affects my life from my bones, like way down in my toes, all the way up through my whole being, I find the reality of God. Now it becomes so precious. 1 Peter chapter 2, unto you which believe, he is precious. Do you know what the word precious means? I was in Hungary in a village, and somebody said to me, one of Mozart's pianos is over in that museum. And I go, what do you mean? They go, yeah, Mozart's piano. You know, his piano is over there. Do you want to see it? I go, no, it's okay, thanks. I've seen a piano before. But you know, when something is precious, it means you can't replace it. It's unique. When that piano is destroyed and any other piano that he had is gone, then they are irreplaceable. And when you find something precious, and your heart. And that's what we have found with God. Of course God would be incredible. And of course God's work of grace would be so much. If we are made in his image, we have found the most incredible person we could ever relate to. Give me your heart. I will give you wisdom. Give me your heart. I will fill you with the Spirit. Give me your heart, I'll direct your footsteps. Give me your heart, my heart is fixed, O God. And then look at Timothy again. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, but thou, O man of God, verse 11, loving money, it's speaking about money. Verse 10, love of money. But thou, O man of God. At our pastor's retreat, I had the pastors kind of turn to each other and poke their finger into the chest of the guy next to them and say, but thou, O man of God. Yeah, so we did that a little bit for a few minutes, and they enjoyed inflicting pain on each other. But thou, O man of God, but thou, O man of God, but thou, O man of God. I love the phrase. loving money? How about who has woe? Who has babblings? For those that stay long at the wine when it is bubbling up. But thou, O man of God. But thou, O man of God. Isn't that good? Who wanders out of the way of understanding and goes into the congregation of the dead? What is that? I think the congregation of the dead, and they're the little old folks from high school and your graduating class that are telling the same old stuff, haven't grown anything, haven't changed any, haven't moved anywhere, haven't done anything. They don't have much to say. They get, like Abraham Lincoln said, he met somebody and he had a talk with him, and he said, and he wasn't a critical person, but he said, they talk with so many words about the most meaningless things. They're in the congregation of the dead. They have nothing to say. But when Jesus Christ comes into life and we are worshipers of him, that he becomes so precious that our hearts are fixed. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. Give me more. Help me. How does it get fixed? Let's say just a few things about it. Look at chapter 6, verse 11. Flee these things. Now, I'm going to use you to do a little preaching on the message, okay? We'll be done in a few minutes, but I need your help. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee these things. What am I fleeing? There are some things in life that I run away from. I don't have anything to do with it. I don't want to have a discussion with it. I don't want to entertain it. I don't want to look at it. There are some things I just straight up flee. I don't have any association with it. I don't have any connection with it. It's not on my phone. It's not on my computer. It's not on my TV set. There are some things that I just straight up flee. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. So can you, for a minute, you may not want to do it, but you can do it. Just give your neighbor sitting next to you, if you're comfortable with it. If not, just put your head down and just cover it. And give three things that's worthwhile fleeing. Three things to flee in life. Who was fleeing in the Bible? Joseph and the coat. He left the woman. And he could have said this. Listen to the story. The woman is seducing Joseph, right? He's in the house with her. Okay? That's not a good thing to have happen to you. Be alone in a house with a woman that's not your wife. She's seducing Joseph. He flees. And he could say, oh, wait a minute. I forgot my coat. I got to go back and get my coat. What did Joseph do? I'm not getting my coat. I'm not getting my coat. I'm out of here. There we go. That's a good story. Did that help anybody? Raise your hand. You don't want, okay, the video, that was all on video. You're on the internet. You raise your hand. Okay. All right, go to the next word. It says here, flee. Then it says, follow, in verse 11, follow, follow. Bloodhound, their nose is 1,000 times more strong than a human. bloodhound. When they get a scent, they can follow it through the woods. They can go. They're good followers. How about you? Are you following anybody? No, I got it all. I'm on my own. Then you're following your own head. You're following whatever. You got your own heart. But if you got the heart of God, you'll be following, oh, thou, O man of God. Not me. I am, but I'm not saying it for that. I'm saying, don't follow your own heart. Follow God. There are plenty of people that follow their own heart right out of there, and they end up in the congregation that's not doing anything. They hang out, but there's no Christ there. They have words, but it's not feeding you. They are doing something, but it doesn't have any eternal purpose. They have leaders, but those leaders are not thou man of God. They have words, but not the word of God. They have, maybe they can do things, but they don't do. They have any heart for what it is that they're doing. The devil would like to take our heart. But God said, but he said, my son, give me your heart. It's beautiful. So we have fixed. My heart is fixed. We have, what is it? What's the first one? Verse 11 is flee. We have four F's here. Flee, follow, and then fight. How is it fixed? The Holy Spirit will fix you, your heart, on God. The Bible will give you, and then the pastor, teacher, and the body will help us so that our heart is fixed, and we're not wandering anymore. We are wanderers, maybe. We are wanderers, but no. God is good to us, and he wants our hearts to be fixed. And he will help us. We have service after service and fellowship after fellowship where we can be edified and built up in our hearts. I believe our hearts are like this soft stuff that can expand. Because in 2 Corinthians 6, it said, our mouth is open unto you, O Corinthians. Our heart is enlarged. How many elephants fit in a Volkswagen? How many people fit? How many Chinese people fit in a telephone booth? And then, how many people can fit in your heart? 1,000? 100? How big is our heart? I am touched many times by people who have such a beautiful heart for God and love for people. They are sensitive. They are loving. And when I meet them, I kind of like, I want a piece of that. Because I can see in your heart. Like Pastor Chuck Brookie and Stephanie, for example, and many others. Pastor Stan Collins is here. And Pastor Ken Fires and other folks that are here is beautiful. Means a lot to us. So that's it. When you discover the real value of it, there's going to be a pull. But in a way, there's no contest. Because God has gotten your heart. Feed it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I love it that Ward and Becky came from out there in Washington State, drove across the country, and the Rodriguez family, another family, and others that have come here to be with us and to grow in the faith. It was so beautiful, Pastor Chris and Houston and the guys that came up. Thank you so much. It's beautiful. We are a fellowship of heart. And that's why our wanderings, our distractions, and our confusion, and our kind of waywardness is not happening. Because we have found the sweetness, the truth, the peace that comes from God. Why aren't you a drug addict, God? Why aren't you depressed, God? Why don't you talk like a fool, God? Why don't you live like a fool, God? How come your friends are like this? Because of God. How did that happen, God? Why did the angels come and visit us, God? Why is God so happy with his people? And he says, have you seen what I've done when they give me their whole heart and how I can heal them and feed them and take care of them and give to them and supply to them and engage them in a divine purpose? And that's what we love. God did it. Decades are rolling by. We don't know how many we have left. People are asking me when I'm going to retire. I say, I don't know. I don't know how that all works. I'm feeling pretty good. And I don't read any place in the Bible where 65 years of age is, you know, where you're done. But I see 120. Moses said, okay, I'm finished. And when he was 120. And Psalm 90 is a good psalm for that. Psalm is at 90 and also 92. We bear fruit in old age. But just to say this, that who knows what God will do with your life when you trust him and you give him your heart. And I say, well, we're way down the road. It's the same thing. Just don't wander out of the way of understanding. You might find yourself in the congregation of the bitterness of life, the congregation of the dead. But I have a lot of hope for our future. It's going to get better and better and better. We want to multiply. We want to see more happen. We want to see God raise up servants. We have seen it through the decades, and we can see more of it happening. We're praying for new countries for this coming summer. And Panama, Uruguay, Colombia, somebody wrote Laos, and we have prayers going on, and our prayer and our hope for what God is going to do, and training people to take over when it is time for their transition to happen. But it's a detail in life. When our heart is fixed, God is going to take care of us. God is going to show us his grace. God is going to anoint us with fresh oil. God is going to bring fruit to us in old age. God is going to raise up a new generation. God is going to bring a revival to here and there, wherever, whatever he wants to do. But he just said, come on, give me your heart. You are so precious and so valuable to me. A whole universe of mountains and rivers mean nothing compared to your heart. I get all goose, like let's, I want to, God could say, I get all goosebumps when you give me your heart. You know where that's written? Isn't it in Luke 15? When one sinner is converted, all the angels are rejoicing in heaven. That's another way of saying God gets all fired up and all goosebumpy and all stirred up. They gave me their heart. He gave me his heart. He gave me his heart. Watch what I will do. When he gives me his heart, I will make a man like gold of Ophir. I'll anoint him with fresh oil. I'll bless him abundantly. I remember when I was water baptized up in Maine with Dr. Stevens, and I went to my trailer. I was living in a trailer, and I laid down, and I just was putting, like, I was just like, oh, I can't. All night. I mean, we were rolling over. I was so filled with joy, and Christ was so real to me. It was like I could just touch him. He was with me in the trailer. He was with me in my aloneness where I didn't know anybody or where I was. I'm from New York, but I'm up in some little town, you know, trailer park up in Maine. I don't even know where I am, but I know that God is real. Because when you give him your heart, he'll take you out of the woods and he'll set you up on a rock higher than ourselves. And don't stop doing it. Give him your heart every day. No matter what's going on in your life, because you are precious to God, and you get everything you need. Thank you. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we are not in the congregation of the dead. Hallelujah. We are not in the congregation. There's plenty of them around. They are in the health club. They are in the associations and organizations. They are in the CEO rooms, the board rooms. They are in companies and military and everywhere. Police, firemen, everywhere. They are at university campuses. They are everywhere. They are congregations of the dead, unfortunately. But we love those people and we love what they are doing for our society. We don't have a problem with that. But I can't park there and live there. I need more. I need to give God my heart and he will fill us and lead us and put us in the congregation of the living. Thank you, God. Help us to help others, Jesus, and reach them. Anyone here tonight not having Jesus in your life, come to Jesus tonight on the internet listening. Come to Jesus tonight and give him your heart. And he will fill you. He will take care of you and he will show you who he is. And we love you. God bless you. And follow Jesus and trust him in your life. You are saved by his grace, sealed with his spirit. And you're ready to be taught and led as a child of God. Trust him and walk with him. Turn from your own ways and live by faith. God will show you who he is. In Jesus' name, amen.